Let's pray together. Father, there is no one like you. There is no other God. You're the one true living God. And you have told us over and over and over again to pray without ceasing. We're to pray, the Scripture says, and not lose heart. We're to pray and bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6 says. Countless times in Paul's epistles and in his letters to the church, he asked for prayer. And so, Lord, it's a vital thing that the church should pray. And all these needs that are on this board, God, I don't even begin to know all about that, but you do. And if everyone on the planet were to bow their knee today all at the same time, you could hear every prayer and answer every prayer all at the same time. You're a great big God. So, Lord, we lift up these needs to you. I love that scripture in Revelation that talks about the great bowls of incense and the prayers of the saints. I'm just grateful, God, for answered prayer. Many were seeking the Lord in prayer this morning here at the altar and in their seats. And so I ask God that you would minister life. I'll just say amen to Dick Littleton's prayer. We love Billy Walker. And ask God that you would touch and heal him. And I know Brother V didn't get into it, but there's been miraculous healing after healing after healing in India. In third world countries, God, they don't have doctors and medical staff and huge hospitals and healthcare places. And so, God, you just decide sometimes just touch somebody and heal them just because you can. And so we thank you for your healing hand. But most of all, God, we pray for spiritual healing for any and everyone. As Brother V reminded us, we all need to be ready to leave here. So, God, we thank you for the message we've heard. And now I pray, God, that you would just envelop us with your presence and your spirit and lead and guide and direct me during this time of Bible study. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I am not ready to teach on Isaiah. That's a huge subject. And Billy had given you all some assignments to read that would help prepare you for going through Isaiah. I would encourage you all to do that. Read those scriptures that he gave you. And if you are not getting the texts and the emails that you need through CCB, it's probably because you haven't listed your service provider and who that is. So on your personal profile. So do that, and you'll get all the information that you need. If you've got questions about that, invariably somebody will walk up to me, "Well, I'm not getting those." Well, we've been doing this now for 3 years, and it's time for everybody to get on board. So, but read those two passages of Scripture that Billy mentioned to you. Most of y'all are on his email list for Sunday school, I think. Maybe not, no? No, okay. Well, anyways, here's what I'm going to ask. I'm not well-versed in all the Bible, but I know a little something about a few things. And I don't know what your flavor is this morning. We can talk about and study some passages on the second coming. Some of you want to know what's going to happen with the rapture. We can talk about that. I can still preach the message I preached over at Christ the Healer Church and make a Bible study out of it on sin and death and the problems that we've got with that. That we call that the gospel. We can talk about that. We can look at one of Paul's epistles, his letters over in Philippians, that I may know him and the power. That I may know the person of Christ and the power of Christ and all that. Is there anything that's really on your heart today? And I'll tell you if we can get on that subject or not. Y'all, this is a question. Yes.
I think it's very important, especially for young people that have never, that they're new believers, especially if you're talking to people that don't know God's Word. I always stress, because I do Bible study, and the book of John starts with, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word is capitalized, man, that is Jesus, and you know, verse 14, maybe the
Billy has taught through the whole book of John. I think that's the first book he covered when we started here at Second Mile. And that's the gospel, that's the passage. That's the book I tell folks who are seeking the Lord. Just start reading in John chapter 1. People are meeting Jesus all through that gospel, all through that book. Some of them walk away from Him. Some of them receive Him. But John is a great book for new believers and people who are seeking the Lord. She's right. Anybody else have something else that you'd like to hear about tonight? Yes. Or today? Second coming. Okay. Second that. Second the second, all right. Okay. Well, I can go on for days with that subject because I've preached through Revelation three times, verse by verse. I don't know everything about eschatology, the study of end times, but we need to know a little something about it because we're all going to be a part of that. And now, let's go to Revelation 19. That is the literal second coming of Christ. And y'all can ask, this is a time to ask questions, okay? This is not a time for me to regurgitate everything I know about the second coming. And let me say this as we're finding Revelation 19. When I say the second coming, it involves a lot of different events. Okay? The second coming begins. I kind of do a teaching sermon, and I use these things like this. There's another one somewhere. But anyways, the second coming starts with the rapture of the church. Okay? And then what happens next after the rapture of the church? The tribulation period, 7 years of great tribulation. And then what happens after? And then you got the rise of the Antichrist, and you've got all these other things that's going on. And then you've got the return of Christ, the literal return of Christ. That would symbolize this pulpit and then this sign over here. And then after Christ comes and defeats all His enemies there in the Valley of Megiddo, in the Battle of Armageddon and all of that, what happens after that in between these two events? Yeah, the millennial reign of Christ. He's going to reign and rule from Jerusalem for how long? Millennial means 1,000 years. And then there'll be one final rebellion. Believe it or not. There'll be people that enter in to the millennial age. People will live long lives. There'll be very little war. Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, there'll be people born during that time and they won't receive Christ. And Satan, who has been locked up during that 1,000-year period in a bottomless pit, will be released and he'll lead one final revolt. Okay? And guess what's going to happen to him? He's going to be thrown in the lake of fire and brimstone where the Antichrist, the false prophet, already are. Okay? So he knows his goose is cooked. But he wants to take as many folks with. And then the last event that the Bible talks about is symbolized by this would be the new heavens and the new earth. The new heavens and the new earth. And Revelation talks about that. And oh my goodness. If you ever Randy Alcorn is an author who is a theologian, who is also a novelist, the best of both worlds. And he's written a book called Heaven several years ago. My mama gave it to me. It comes with a study guide, and it is the best work that I've ever seen on heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, and what it's going to be like. And how many of y'all have ever wondered if old Spot is going to make it to heaven? Well, that book talks about that, you know. So there is hope that the dogs are going to heaven. So you might just find that book. It's called Heaven. And Randy Alcorn is the author. So let's just kind of, let's look at the literal second coming of Christ this morning. What's first? What's going to happen first? Rapture. Now, when is the rapture going to take place? Anytime. There is no other scripture that needs to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place. At any point in time, it could be today. And what is the rapture going to look like? Well, the Bible says Jesus is going to step down off of the throne. That's where he is right now. And there will be the Lord's going to shout. He may shout, come up here. He may say, David, fry. Yeah. We don't know, you know, but he's going to shout, and then the archangel's going to say something, one of the archangels. I don't know what he's going to say either, but he may say, well, aha, it's time to go get the saints. And then there'll be a trumpet blast, and Jesus is coming in the air on a cloud. I call it the chariot of deity. And he's not coming literally down to the earth. He's going to hang there in the clouds. And the Bible says that graves, that's why we had the sunrise service up on Riverview Cemetery. That is a glimpse of what's going to happen. And graves all over the world are going to open up and give forth Christian dead. Now, when your loved one dies today, where does your, that's in Christ, where do they go? Where does their soul, their spirit go? Yeah. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so their body goes to the grave, but their everything that makes Nikki McCullough, the way she thinks, the way she acts, the way her attitudes, all of that stuff is who Nikki really is. Well, her body just houses who she is. And so when she dies, everything that makes Nikki goes to be with the Lord. Well, when Jesus comes back, he's bringing all the souls and spirits of our loved ones who are in Christ with him. And then these graves are going to open up, and then their bodies are going to be reunited with their soul and their spirit, and they're going to have a body like Jesus. Be able to travel at the speed of thought. You're never going to die again. You'll never get sick again. You're going to have an unbelievable body. Our bodies are not ready for heaven right now because we're under the curse of sin. And so during the rapture, and then what's going to happen to everybody else who hadn't died yet that's in Christ? Yeah, we're going to rise to meet the Lord. And we're going to be changed. We're going to be in our glorified state. Corinthians 15 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, the twinkling of an eye is faster than the blinking of an eye. You ever just been looking at somebody and all of a sudden you see this little sparkle, this little twinkling of an eye? Well, that's how fast that's going to happen. And then can you imagine the catastrophe and the chaos and the carnage that's going to be here for those who are not in Christ, for those who've been left behind? People will be in an airplane. And the pilot will be saved. And he's raptured out of that plane. What's going to happen to that airplane? Boom. The quarterback will step up. Hut one, hut two, and all of a sudden Jesus says, come up here. And then the quarterback's gone. The cook in the kitchen. Betty, Time to come on up here. And Betty's going to rise and the meal's not going to be finished. I mean, think about that. Hospitals, nursing homes. People will be out there in their cars. And there'll be tremendous death and all of that. And this is a very liberal number. But let's just say that 30% of America is Christian. I don't believe that number's right anymore. But let's just say that 30%, and so a third of Americans at the rapture are going to be taken up. I mean, overnight, the banks are going to crash. Wall Street's going to go downhill. The housing market, all of that stuff. And overnight, America will be like a third world country. That's why you don't find America in the book of Revelation. Okay? Because she's not around anymore. She's not a major player anymore after the rapture. So that's what's going to happen first. And then the old Antichrist is going to rise. I'm just setting the table here for what's happening in chapter 19. And after the rapture, can you imagine somebody that could make the peace over in the Middle East? It's been going on since day one, fussing and fighting and killing and wars and rumors of wars. But there's going to be a charismatic, I mean, slick-tongued orator who's very good-looking. I personally believe he'll be a Gentile. I don't believe he's going to be a Jew. Scripture talks about that. And he's going to rise to power during this time. And we're going to be with the Lord for 7 years. And what are we going to be doing? Y'all ever heard of the judgment seat of Christ? We're going to be rewarded for our works at the judgment seat of Christ. And then we're going to come back wearing these righteous robes. You know what those are? The righteous acts of the saints that we've done for God's glory when we come back with the Lord. So at the second coming, okay? But before all that happens, there's this character that rises, and he's got great power because who is behind him? Satan. And he's going to be able to do wonders and miracles and all kinds of things. And he's, you know, and by the way, y'all, the Antichrist is Satan's man, okay? And he, Satan's always wanted to be worshiped. And so that's what the Antichrist will be here to do. And just think about the power that will be needed to make the peace over there between Islam and all these Muslim nations. Well, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that people will believe the lie. What lie? The lie that the Antichrist... People are going to be asking, what happened to all them Christians? What happened to all those believers? Where are they? I can't find a one of them anymore. Where are they? What happened to them? And he'll come up with some kind of lie that everybody's going to believe. And he'll rise to power. And he'll make a peace agreement, a peace treaty between Israel and the Muslim nations. And all of that. And so, and Israel's going to be allowed to rebuild her temple during that time. And y'all do know that there's all kinds of stuff happening right now. I told y'all, there's a nurse's practitioner down in Waynesboro, and she had a farm, and she had marble in the ground. And guess where that marble was going? They were digging it up and sending it where? To Israel. And the priests are putting together all these, you know, the temple utensils. They're putting all that together. The priests are being trained. They're getting ready for their temple. Well, the Antichrist is going to make that possible. And they'll reinstitute the sacrificial system and all that during that 7-year period. But in the middle of that 7-year period, the Antichrist is going to break the treaty. He'll be headquartered in Rome, and then he's going to move to Jerusalem. And he's going to set himself up in that temple that the Jews have built on the throne. And then he's going to broadcast over the whole world that if you don't fall down and worship me and receive my mark, you're going to die. You're going to pay the price. You're going to become a martyr. And the Bible says it's going to get so rough during that time for people. They'll want to die. They'll cry out, but they can't die. The Jews are going to run and hide out in this rock-walled city called Petra. This is a huge subject, but I'm just kind of giving you all the highlights. And just about the time when it seems, and then you've got the armies coming in from the east. That's China and India coming in from the east on in this huge valley called the Valley of Megiddo. And then you've got the armies from the north coming down called probably from Russia and those Muslim nations that are still left. And then you've got the armies from Africa and other places coming up from the south. And then you got the Antichrist armies coming in from the west. And they're all marching in on Jerusalem. Y'all know everybody wants the title deed to Jerusalem. It's been going on for thousands of years. And so there's going to be this great setup of a battle. And that's when the Lord's going to come. And he's bringing his people with him. And I can't wait to... Here's part of my Israel crew right here. We're going to the Mount of Olives. That's where we're all going to come one day. You may not think, well, I don't want to go to Israel. Well, bless God, you better want to go to Israel because you're going to show up on the Mount of Olives with Jesus. And you better learn how to ride a horse. I don't like horses. Well, you will that day. And so we're going to show up with him. And the Bible says Jesus is going to go down into the valley and he's going to speak a word and it's all going to be over. And all of his enemies are going to be defeated. The Bible says the blood will rise to the bridles of the horses for 180, I think, some odd miles. It'll be a huge victory for Jesus. And then he's going to go down to the city of Petra and said, well, guess what? It's all over with. And the Bible says that's when all of the Jews that are left, which will be very few probably, are going to be saved. Well, how are they going to be saved? Just like me and you. There's never been any other way to be saved than to repent of your sin and by faith trust Christ. And then he's going to march back into Jerusalem and he's going to head up to the new temple. And he's going to sit down on the throne, and the Bible says the nations of the whole world are going to come and they're going to learn of our Savior. And that'll be that 1,000-year reign. And so I've covered a tremendous amount of material already. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19. This is about this great battle. Look at is that 11? Yes. Revelation 19, verse 11. If you're there, say amen. I've got about 15 minutes or so we'll do justice with this. Now I saw heaven opened. Who's writing this? John. Now y'all stop me anytime you've got questions. I don't have all the answers, but we can talk about it. I saw heaven opened, and behold... And anytime you see that word, behold, what does that mean? Pay attention. Watch this. Listen to this. This is important. Behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful, capital F, and True, capital T. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Now, you remember the first time Jesus was here, he rode on the back of another animal. What was that? A donkey. And he rode down the Mount of Olives that day. And the people were, you know, celebrating. They thought Jesus was going to set up his earthly kingdom at that time and bring the Jews back to great prominence and all of that. But here, He doesn't quite look like this, you know, ooey-gooey Prince of Peace here. The Bible says he's going to make war. What does that mean? What happens in war? Man, people die. And all of the enemies of God on this day are going to pay for their sin. And by the way, why would you want to pay for your sin when Jesus has already paid the price for them? You know, it doesn't even make sense to be lost. Yes, Laura.
Question. Why will sacrifices be start up again?
The Jews are all still lost. Yeah, they're going to reinstitute the sacrificial system at the temple that they build, okay, during that 7-year period. Good question. Yeah. Those priests, Jewish priests, are getting ready for all this. You see, they don't believe the Messiah's come yet. But when he does come, they'll believe. Other questions? Yes. During the time of the Antichrist, you've got these two witnesses, and there's some discussion about who they are. I think most people think that it'll be Moses and Elijah. I think it may be Enoch and Elijah, because those are the only two people that have never died. And they're going to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, man. And there'll be 144,000 Jewish men saved, virgins saved. And they're going to go out. Can you imagine 144,000 Billy Grahams? And so there's going to be people saved during the tribulation period. People from every nation, tongue, and tribe. Okay? All right, we're at the point now where Jesus has left heaven, and we've come with him, and he's riding on the back of a great white stallion. What great white horse? Doesn't say stallion. But anytime you see a rider on a white horse in New Testament times, what are you looking at? What are we talking about? Not a black horse, not a red horse, a white horse. Yeah, we're talking about victory. So he shows up. Now, watch this, and by the way, it'll be so good to finally have a leader we can call faithful and true. Amen? We're always looking for that, aren't we? Well, here he is. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Now, what does that mean? Speaks of judgment. He knows everything there is to know. He sees the hearts of men and women. He knows everything that there is to know. And when you see fire, that's a reference to judgment and purity and that kind of thing. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Now this is not the word Stephanos, which means the victor crown. This is the word diadem. This is the crown for a king. And is the word crown, is it in singular or plural? Plural. In other words, when he comes, he's King of Kings. He's got all the crowns. He's Lord. Nobody will question that when he shows up. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. And by the way, if he's Lord then, he's Lord now. And he's either, and if he's not the Lord of your life, you got problems. I'm not being judgmental there, but he's Lord. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He's already the Savior, but he wants to be the Lord of your life. And he'll be Lord right here, let me tell you. Let's watch this. In his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Isn't that amazing? He's going to have a name that we don't know anything about. In other words, we're going to learn even more about the Lord, hello, during these days. Whew. And then look at verse 13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And a lot of folks think that robe is the, you know, it's dipped in, is the blood of his enemies. And yeah, that's probably right. But I also think when we see that robe that's been dipped in blood, we're going to remember the sacrifice that he made for us all the time. And his name is called the Word of God. Jesus is not just the living Word. He's the written Word. John chapter 1. I mean, he is the Word. And that's why I ask folks to stand every time we read God's Word in here. Because he's the Word of God. What does that do for you today, knowing that he is the Word? He's got the final say-so. I mean, what does that do for you today? Hallelujah. He is the Word. He's got the final say-so. His Word is authoritative. Yes. He is the Word. And watch this. Watch this. Don't miss this. Verse 14, and the armies in heaven, clothed in white linen, clothed in fine linen. How many of you ladies like fine linen? Satin. Fine linen. White and clean. Now that's symbolic of the righteous acts of the saints. By the way, what you do for Jesus and his glory and his honor and his praise, man, it's going to last for eternity. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is all about. Everything that Cal Hampton's done in Cal Hampton's name, all that's going to burn up. All that's gone. Only what I've done for his honor and praise is going to last. And God's so good, he's going to reward me for doing that. And he's going to give me the resources to do what he wants me to do. And then he's going to thank me for doing it. Can y'all believe how good he is? Come on, walkers. Can y'all believe how good he is? Whew. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine white and clean, fine linen, white and clean, followed him. You know how you have victory? You know how you have, there's victory here. We're going to be saddled up on white horses, and we're going to follow him, and we're following him, and there's going to be a huge victory. But do you know how you have victory today? Same way. Just follow Jesus. Follow him. Follow him. Don't let me get to preaching now, because this is preaching material. And they followed him on white horses. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. Now, what is it that this sword that's coming out of his mouth? It's the Word of God. The Scriptures talk about the Word being like a sword. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God cuts both ways. Yeah. And, you know, and so he's going to speak a word, the Word. And man, when he speaks a word, down, he's going to march down. We're all in this valley of Megiddo where all these armies are coming against him and have blasphemed his name and rebelled against his authority. And Jesus is going to speak a word, and it's all going to be over. What's he going to say? I love Dr. John Phillips. He's a great commentator. He's written several commentaries. And I was at a pastor's conference one day, and he had preached on Psalm 24. Whew, what a sermon it was. And we were all lined up. Some of the, you know, young theologians were wanting to get his John Henry. you know, to sign their Bible and all this mess. And so he's British. And one of the seminary students asked him, he said, "Dr. Phillips, when Jesus comes at the second coming and he steps down off that horse and he speaks a word, what's he going to say?" And I'll never forget what he told this young guy. He said, "Son, I'm not exactly sure, but I think he might simply say, 'Drop dead.'" It's all going to be over in a New York second. Jesus is going to speak, and those who have rebelled against him and blasphemed his name, it's all going to be over. "That with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." This is the language of war and hostility. This is the language of judgment. A winepress. And it brings the picture. Have you ever seen a horse that's stomping and in the cold morning, and you know there's vapors coming out of his nose? You know, that's the picture here. And Jesus is, you know, the Father is going to tell the Son, "Go down there, and I've had enough, and it's time to go do business." And Jesus is going to show up, and it's going to be business. And he's not coming on the back of a donkey. He's coming on the back of a great white horse, and his enemies will be defeated. Watch this. Verse 16, "And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written," what? "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." I thank God, yeah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And y'all, we live in a nation that doesn't have any respect for the Lord anymore. And they think that he's, you know, he's this and he's that and da-da-da-da-da. They don't understand. And so until he comes and raptures us, it is our responsibility, as Brother V told us this morning, to share the gospel. To share the gospel. And when the Antichrist rises to power, almost everybody will receive his mark and fall down and worship him. And that tears me all to pieces. But you see, right now is the age of grace. Right now is the time when people need to receive Christ. But now, during the Great Tribulation period, there will be thousands and thousands and thousands of people saved. From every nation, every tongue, every tribe. But the vast majority of those people will become martyred for their faith. Why? Because they won't support the Antichrist. See? So, I don't understand everything. But bless God, I've read the last page of the book and we win. Dick.
You think that, I believe that if the army's coming back, the Lord will literally be on horses.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing after that's over, what happens to the horses? I've always been debating, we have animals in heaven.
Yeah. Horses might get to go to heaven. I mean, and where did the horses come from? If we're coming riding on the back of horses and we're coming from heaven, yeah. I can't imagine that God would, in creation, you know, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where God's creating all these animals and plants and all this stuff, I can't imagine that none of that would be available in the new Garden of Eden. In the new heaven.
I have one other question. We skipped over it. I didn't raise my hand. The false prophet.
Yeah.
Third member of the Satanic
Trinity. Right.
Where does he come into play?
He comes into play during the that time, and he's got great powers. And you know, Satan is he's the great counterfeiter. He is anti-God. And Antichrist is Antichrist, and the false prophet is anti-spirit. Dick mentioned it. They're the satanic trinity. But I think probably in that middle, the mid-time of that tribulation period, Dick, is when the false prophet will come to rise, when the Antichrist has made it plain who he is and what he's come here to do.
The Bible refers to him as in chapter 13 as
right.
The beast.
Yeah. And by the way, the Holy Spirit during this time, where is he? Yeah, he withdraws. Now, obviously, you got to have the Holy Spirit here for people to get saved. But I want to tell you, can you imagine what this place is going to be like once the church is gone? My goodness. What an awful time. So the time to get saved is when? Right now. Right now. And that's what we need to be telling our friends and our family members. Amen? Let's stop right there. The rest of this passage is talks about the burial and the funeral and all that of all these folks who have been slain. And then I love chapter 20. The old sinister minister of fear and doubt is going to be sent to the bottom of a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Whew.
Cal, there has been, Jim Heffley, we talked about why does he have to be let out. Of course, you already said that.
He's going to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And so he that's where he knows he's going. And so he'll be released, and he'll lead one final rebellion, because that's what he's all about. He'll lead one final rebellion, and amazingly, there'll be people born during that 1,000-year period, and they won't be saved. You know, you see that now. In the best of times, there are folks that'll walk away and reject the Lord.
Yes. Well, what do you do with Matthew 7:21? I always say, Lord, the kingdom
of
heaven. Yeah.
The key piece of evidence of whether or not you're born again is you do what God tells you to do in this book. I think Larry was the first one with a hand up.
When the tribulation, when the rapture occurs, does the tribulation start immediately, or is there a gap?
No, the Antichrist needs some time to kind of set up his situation, and he's going to be lauded by, you can see that happening right now. Some charismatic, supernatural, spirit-filled leader jumps to power and rises to power, and he's going to, and then he's going to make the peace over there. The average time frame of when we're raptured and when Jesus returns is around 7 years. It may be 7.5 years, but the number 7 is mentioned many times. When you're talking about eschatological issues, end time events, okay? That's a good question. We're not really going to be too concerned about that because we're going to be with Him, But at the midpoint is the abomination of desolation in that 3.5 years, and that's when things are really going to get bad. Somebody, Ethel. Well, let me read you this troubling scripture here. This is not something I like to read, but it's the Word of God, and it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to this, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Who is that? Antichrist, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the Antichrist is going to be defeated. But verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong... Who's he talking about? Who is them? That's the folks that get left behind, that have heard the gospel over and over and over again, that grew up in America and drove by 24 churches every Sunday. That's the folks that live here that have heard the truth. And in other places where the gospel has gone forth in power. And he says, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. What lie? What happened to all them Christians? That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so I believe you're talking there about folks like America. And there'll be no, you know, second chance for them. Their chance is when? Right now. Right now. I believe that's who he's talking about there. If that's not who he's talking about, y'all tell me who he's talking about. I had a great Bible scholar point this out to me many years ago. And he makes a great, great argument. That's who he's talking about. These folks who have heard the truth over and over and over again. And you know, the Left Behind series didn't do us any justice there because he gave the belief that, you know, if you miss the rapture, it's okay, you can make it. Well, not according to this verse. That's an answer to your question, I hope. Y'all, it's 11:22. This is something that could go on for a year, but you need to do your own personal study. And get to the point where you believe what you believe about eschatology and what's going to happen. Because it's going to happen. And let me say this. There is some, you know, room for discussion in some areas of theology when it comes to end time events. Now, there are some things you need to be bulldogmatic about. But there are some other things that, you know, like who are the two witnesses? You know, there's some room to play there. When is Ezekiel's war going to happen? There's some room to play there, either before the rapture or right after the rapture. There's some things like that. So what I'm saying is, you get down to what you believe, and make sure you can back it up with Scripture, and that'll be your system of belief about the second coming, which involves the rapture all the way to the new heavens and the new earth. A lot of different events during the second coming. So.
You know, the two witnesses and everything, basically they got some characteristics of each one of them.
They do. Right. Well, and you know, you remember last week at Easter, there were two men. The Bible says Luke says it was two men in shining garments that showed up at the tomb that morning. Could that have been Enoch and Elijah? Possibly. But you can make a strong case for Moses and Elijah because they were on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was there. So anyways, a lot of great stuff here today. Thank y'all for your patience with me. And I wasn't Billy Walker, but anyways, we plowed some ground. Scott Loxley's excellent. You might want to go to that if you're interested in what's going to happen. And by the way, the average Christian doesn't have a clue what they believe about end time events. The average believer doesn't know anything about it. But I don't want that to be said about Second Mile Church. Amen?
And a lot of people's kind of scared of the people of Revelation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have all the answers. But, man, there's enough truth there for any of us. Well, we need to pray. Yes, Trey. I've had people ask me, is the Antichrist on the earth today? Could be. I don't, in my own human way of thinking and finite thinking, I don't know how we can go on another 50 years the way we've gone the last 50 years. I don't know how we can go on another 20 years the way we have the last 20. And one of these days, the Father's going to look at the Son and say, I've had enough. Go get our people. And it might be on Sunday night. After we've canceled church on Sunday night. Have mercy. Anyways, I love y'all. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. And I hope you've received a blessing by coming to the... And wasn't Brother V great? Y'all, he could have gone on for days about all the miraculous things that God's doing over there. But there have been multiplied thousands of people saved in India. And they've planted thousands of what we would call house churches. And they go to village to village to village to village. And there's thousands of these church planters. We call them pastors. That go to, I mean, it's an amazing thing what God's doing. And they have partnered with our International Mission Board. It's not an SBC entity yet, but they have partnered with, and so they're a legitimate missions ministry. And man, if you've ever got some time to sit down with Brother Tony, he's the administrator, and he sends out a newsletter every month. Man, and the stories, the testimonies in that thing are unbelievable. It's just fantastic. And before y'all leave, I want all of you to say hi to my buddy over here, Nathan Franklin. Now's your time to say hi, y'all. Anyways, let's pray together. Mark Barnett, close us in prayer, would you?
Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for what's going on in India.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen.